Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome in. It's a beautiful Monday out. April 15th, 2024 is the date. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, how was your weekend?
Great weekend.
Oh, great.
Fantastic weekend. Yeah.
Really?
Got out on the golf course a little bit.
Okay. I have not asked you how that went.
Better than expected.
Okay.
Better than expected.
You put it in the air. You hit it in the air a few times. That's what you mean.
I certainly did. I hit it straight and in the air.
Oh, really?
More than once. That's a dub.
It's the two F's, forward and findable. That's all I care
about. I did the Larry David.
About.
Drop and drag.
No.
Wasn't it drop and drag?
Yeah, drop and drag, something like that.
Or drop
that.
And pull, something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, vertical drop, horizontal tug.
Yes,
right?
That's what it was. Vertical drop, horizontal tug. Yes, okay. Drop and tug. I yelled four every time I hit it just in case. We had no incidents.
Keep your eyes on the damn ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. You won't have to say four. But you were being careful.
We were being careful.
Did you? Do they have carts out at the
Overton? Oh yeah,
now?
We were whipping
okay,
around.
They do. Okay, good.
Great time.
Good. Just the nine holes, right?
Just nine.
Yep. Let's see. Try to tell you. Is it nice now? I haven't been there in probably a couple of years.
It was nice. I enjoyed it. We'll be back.
Okay. Good to hear. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly, and we have plenty to get to. Grizzlies ended their season 27-55. We'll talk about G.G. Jackson. He ended the season on about the best high note you could possibly end on. Sort of Kenneth Lofton Jr.-esque. So
the junior special.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But he had 44-12 in that final game of the year against the Nuggets, and he had 31 in the game against the Lakers. I'm just saying. Pretty damn good. But Grizzlies exit interviews were today. Ja spoke, Jaren spoke, Brandon Clark spoke. Of course, Zach Kleiman. I'll get to him in a second and sort of the highlights of what he had to say. But there's some things to discuss on the Grizzlies front as we head into the offseason. We also have the NBA playoff set. I did not expect what we got over the weekend. But the Thunder become the youngest number one seed in the Western Conference in the history of the NBA. The youngest number one seed. Their average age, 23.4. They're the number one seed. Good for them. Now, I think it'll be an interesting first-round matchup for them because you're talking about, you know, Lakers or Pelicans or Kings or Warriors, but we'll talk about the NBA playoffs, how they're all set out, also in the Eastern Conference as well. Tiger basketball did a good thing yesterday. They did a very good thing yesterday. They got to commit. Colby Rogers from Wichita State. 2 years in a row, they bring in a good three-point shooter from Wichita State. But Colby Rogers is substantially different than Jaquan Walton, in my opinion. I'll explain all the reasons why. I know people will meet it with skepticism because it's a guy from Wichita State who you're promised is going to shoot really well. But Colby Rogers has done it at a higher clip for longer than Jaquan Walton. And speaking of which, Jaquan Walton in the portal, I mean, I didn't know how to read through that. We did learn he had some eligibility, but I think most people just counted him out. Right.
I did not expect him to have another year of eligibility.
I saw John Rothstein throw Jaquan Walton was in the portal, and I didn't think he had.
Best of luck to him. I had no idea he still had a year.
From what I understand, and Parth and Jason both said this, like the University of Memphis said he didn't have any eligibility left. But I think we're on our last year of COVID eligibility. So
I think
get back to normal math.
I saw a few people say that they are looking forward to the post-COVID eligibility.
And
I think I am too. It's a bit confusing.
I disagree with Jeff Goodman on a fair amount. I agree with him on that.
Yes,
because it's so hard to keep up, man.
Yeah.
It's so hard to keep up. Guys are listed as juniors, but they have three more years to play. I don't know how that works. It hurts my brain.
Do you see how Hollinger responded? He said, I agree, but I've been enjoying watching the grandkids come to the games. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Good joke. I know that people didn't like that when DeAndre Williams playing with the Tigers, but it comes with the territory. It comes with the territory. Now, also, Kentucky introduced Mark Pope over the weekend. Well done. Well done. I'll explain what they did, but well done. And they have some transfer portal things that they're going to have to deal with that I will mention at some point during the show. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins will join at 5 o'clock from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show. And then at 6 o'clock, Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian covering Tigers basketball will join. We'll talk about everything under the sun when it comes to Tigers basketball. Colby Rogers, P.J. Haggerty, how this is all going to fit, David Jones. We'll also see, from what he's hearing, who else is out there for the taking. For the Tigers. Arturo Dean, I think, ended up from Florida and international, if you haven't been keeping up. The NCAA steals leader last year with 3.35 a game. He delayed his visit until this week. Aaron Scott was on campus, though, this weekend. So there's some other guys out there on top of what they have already that could potentially commit here relatively soon. We'll get into the Blitz at 6:30, where we will. You know, there is a bunch of transfer portal news. Tigers have a new home at home. With, I think a decent mid-major home-and-home with UNLV. And if people want to take that trip out to Vegas, that would be a fun one.
That'd be a great time. Going to Vegas to watch the Tigers play some basketball.
And then the return trip would be in the 25-26 season. So adding more to this out-of-conference schedule that already has the Maui Invitational in Mizzou and Virginia and Clemson. We'll discuss that in the Blitz as well as Cowboys fans. You may need to plug your ears. But they have a wide receiver who was first-team All-Pro last year who is going to be missing OTAs because he wants a contract, and that would be CeeDee Lamb, caught for 1,700 yards last year. Don't really know what the Cowboys are doing. I don't know if I've brought up a positive story about the Cowboys this entire offseason because there hasn't been positivity. They've done nothing. They've just sat there, Connor. They've just sat there and let things come to them, and they're reactionary. They're being very reactionary. Maybe they're locked in on the draft, and they're tabling contract discussions till after the draft here in a couple weeks, but it's just strange how they have just done nothing this offseason. But we will discuss that in the Blitz. Now let's open here. Grizzlies exit interviews. Zach Kleiman was the first one to step up. And he said, he reiterated some things that I think are worthy of discussion. He talked about the bigs with Steven Adams now out and Xavier Tillman now out. And he made it very clear that they're going to go get another big at some point. He doesn't know what it's going to look like. But he did sort of mention that he doesn't mind Jaren at the five. He thinks that's the optimal situation. I know that hurts some people's ears to hear because I think we're all of the opinion you need more rebounding from Jaren Jackson Jr. if he's going to be a consistent five, a starting five, and a five that will play extended minutes. But that was sort of his idea. They're going to add one big, but don't rule out the fact that Jaren Jackson could be playing the starting five going into next year, which at this moment would probably be Brandon Clark or somebody else at the four.
It'd be BC.
It'd probably be Brandon Clark. He also said Ja Morant and Ja ended up cleaning this up for us. He said that he will be cleared midway through the offseason from his labrum tear and labrum surgery in his shoulder. So that's good news. Everything is progressing well there. On the Vince Williams Jr. role, I think we all know this. We wanted more clarity on his injury situation, which was not fully given. But it's if it really is patellar tendonitis, you shouldn't worry about it. But if it's anything further than that and you have PTSD from Steven Adams and how that all played out, I completely understand. But he said Vince Williams' role will be significant. And then G.G. Jackson's role is a little different. We know he ended the year with 31 against the Lakers, 44 against the freaking Denver Nuggets. And by the way, that 44-12 game he had, he was the second youngest player ever alongside Kevin Durant to have a 40-point game with 10-plus rebounds. The things he's doing are ridiculous. But Vince Williams' role will be significant, while G.G. Jackson's role is going to be decided as they get into it and get into preseason. Looks like he will likely, G.G. Jackson, play in summer league alongside Jake LaRavia and guys like that. And then the final thing, and I thought it was kind of interesting that they omitted him from speaking. He did not speak today at exit interviews. But Luke Kennard, they feel strongly about Luke Kennard, but they still will be there to make a decision. I don't know if it's as open and shut as I thought it would be. I think they need the three-point shooting,
right?
Even if it's at $14.7 million a year. But if there's other things they can do, have the team option picked up and trade him, whatever it is, like I think everything's on the table right now with Luke Kennard. And did you find it strange that he did not speak today? That was a little
weird.
It
was a little strange, but at the same time, you know, he's got a new kid. There might be some things going on.
Right.
Who knows? From the comments, though, I was like, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I think that the Grizzlies like Luke Kennard. You hope that Luke Kennard likes being a Memphis Grizzly. We know that he gets a lot more opportunity here than he's gotten in previous stops. And I think the mindset may be, listen, we like Luke Kennard, but we also understand that contract is a little bit big for what role he's going to have. Three-point shooting is a necessity in today's NBA, and Luke Kennard is one of the premier guys in the NBA, if not the best one. You know, so I think that the plan may be we might be able to renegotiate with Luke to bring him back. If he doesn't want to do that, it's a deal that you can still move. There's a lot of different options you have with Luke Kennard, and that's why this entire season we've been talking about, listen, everybody I think understands that Luke Kennard's a very good three-point shooter, if not the best in the NBA, and you need that on a contending team. If you can work it out to where he can come back, he will be an asset on this team next season. He can help you contend and possibly win an NBA championship. If you also need him to facilitate another move, you do that. He is not a 100% bring him back. He is a 80% you want him back, but there's a 20% where you might have to move
him. There's different variables.
Do variables. So
right.
That's why, I wasn't shocked by the answer at all. It makes a ton of sense in the world. Luke Kennard's a player that they definitely want, but if you need his contract to facilitate something else, or he ends up being too expensive for other moves, you got to move on from him. I understand it.
Yeah, but if you do move on from him, you have to have somebody waiting in the wings that can shoot. Find
sure.
somebody who can
sure.
shoot at that same level. This is a guy who's 44%, 45% from three. He's been one or two in the league at three-point percentage like the past 5 or 6 years. This
Listen,
is a guy that,
I am team bring Luke back.
Yes, me too. And if you're in this position where going into next year, you want to improve on a few things. Obviously, you'll get John, you'll get a big, and you'll rebound better. You'll probably get better with your offensive rebounds with Brandon Clark back in the lineup. But one thing they've always struggled with is half-court offense. And I think having a spaced floor, having a three-point shooter who can be a spot-up guy, who can come off screens like Luke Kennard, I just think that is so helpful for a half-court offense. Now, I understand Desmond Bane and Jaren and Ja all can get off the bounce, get through one-on-ones. ISO scoring is going to be a lot better, and that will help the half-court offense. But as much shooting as you can possibly bring in, that's what you need if you're the Grizzlies to help facilitate better half-court offense, especially as you get into the playoffs. You have to be above league average at shooting the three-point ball. And I don't think even in their contending years, when they were second in the West and 50 wins,
they weren't there.
They won by getting up and down the floor, getting offensive rebounds, getting second chances.
It was the Achilles heel of the team.
You need to absolutely update and get into the 21st century with your offense. And I think Luke Kennard, and I've stood by this, I think he is a good way to facilitate that.
Absolutely. And especially with how the roster is constructed right now. Like, let's say that they don't add a three-point shooter this offseason, but they just bring back the guys that they have. You know, Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, G.G. Jackson, Marcus Smart, Vince Williams Jr. They're not a bad place. Jaren Jackson Jr., that's not a bad place to start with your three-point shooting.
Yeah. Now, I think the biggest conversation that comes out of exit interviews, and
Should
I don't
I have
think
said Jake LaRavia?
Who knows? He was decent down the stretch of the season.
Pretty decent.
Let's calm down,
pretty
though.
Decent. He's earned a spot. I'm just going to say it. He's earned a spot.
But I will say it's just so hard. Like, Malachi Flynn had a 50-piece down the last 10 games.
Yes.
I know that there was more consistency, and he followed it up with an 0-for-12 performance.
Right.
And there was more consistency from Jake LaRavia. But do you just get some very weird outcomes late in the year?
I think he's earned a spot.
I think he'll be on the roster.
That's literally all I'm saying.
And we'll see in summer league.
He impressed me. He has changed my mind about him being a full, like hands up, Jake LaRavia had a good
2 months ago,
back half
I thought
the
there
season.
Was no way he could be an NBA player.
Right.
And now we have progressed to a point where it's like, okay, 13th, 14th guy,
sure.
Feel okay about it.
Yeah.
He can continue to move in that direction and show us positive strides, and he'll have a chance in summer league. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine the Grizzlies summer league.
They're going to be stacked. Holy crap, yeah, they're going to be stacked.
I mean, if you have, if you run out.
His trade's going to
play. Jake LaRavia and G.G. Jackson, that's really.
With Trey Jimison,
Scottie Pippen Jr. maybe. Like,
whatever rookie you're going to bring in.
That could be absolutely ridiculous.
It'll be fun.
And by the way, before I get into sort of the biggest news of the day, Scottie Pippen Jr., I think, based on what I saw from the back half of the season, that's a guy who needs to be on this roster.
Agreed.
He's on a two-way, so there is that. Derrick Rose says he's going to be back for another year because he has one more year left on his deal. But Scottie Pippen Jr. has shown me enough for me to have some trust that he could be a backup point guard.
He's an NBA player.
Yes.
For sure.
And Zach Kleiman said as much. He's proved that he's an NBA player. They're going to have him back, but I don't know if they'll ever transition that two-way into a full active roster spot.
We'll see.
But I think he's earned that.
Yeah.
I really do.
The Grizzlies did a really good job this year of finding guys, or not finding guys, but giving guys like Scottie Pippen Jr., G.G. Jackson, and Vince Williams Jr. room to grow. And they all three, I think, have shown that they are bona fide NBA players.
Yeah, and Scottie Pippen Jr., when you just sort of look at his shooting numbers when he was with the Grizzlies, 41.7% from three. He was very good, 99th percentile or 98th percentile in assist percentage, which was phenomenal. So he's young still. I like what they got in him. I thought that was a good signing when they made it. He's on the two-way. I guess you could keep it that way for a while and still have him play some NBA minutes. But at some point, you know that they have game limits for two-way guys. They may have to turn that into an active roster spot and make him a full-time backup point guard if that's what they want to do. But I think I've seen that from him. I feel confident in what Scottie Pippen Jr. can bring to the table. Now, the biggest conversation, without question, there was a little bit of a difference in thought from Zach Kleiman and from Brandon Clark when they were asked about the Jaren Jackson Jr. role and bringing in a big, and what really struck me about what Zach Kleiman said is, yeah, they want a big, but he feels the optimal situation. He said, quote, "We are probably best positioned if Jaren is playing the five." Now, I can read that as maybe not full time, maybe not as a starter, but we're best positioned in games, in tight games, with a closing lineup with Jaren at the five. That makes sense. That's what it has been the past few years. Brandon Clark at the four, him at the five. Those are death lineups for the Grizzlies, and they're phenomenal when they run them out there late in games and games that are up in the air. Now, Brandon Clark, though, after Zach Kleiman said that, he said, quote, "Not having Steve-O, it really hurt us. I like seeing Jaren at the four more. I trust the front office with what they choose, but it sounds like we need someone big and strong." And I am of the opinion that that's the case. Now, what would it look like if they don't find a starting caliber five big to put next to Jaren Jackson Jr.? That would be Ja, Dez, Marcus Smart, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr. in the starting lineup, and then bring, you know, your rookie big if it's Donovan Clingan or something like that, or your lower paid big if you get somebody out in the free agent market. That would be the guy who comes in and rotates into the game. The only issue I have with starting that type of lineup, that is very small. That is incredibly small. If that's your thought process going into next year, I think that that's a faulty thought process. I like that lineup as a potential closing lineup. But for a majority of minutes when you have to deal with big seven-footers who can rebound at a high level, you're going to have to be bigger than that, I think. Now, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, especially if you have a rookie big that you want to get seasoned before you start throwing him in the starting lineup, and that's why Brandon Clark's in there. If there's a light at the end of the tunnel with that lineup, I feel okay. But considering if that's something you roll into the year with and don't really have a backup plan off of that, I don't know if that's big enough. That would make me concerned.
I'd be very surprised if that's what they do. Yeah. It seems like to me, based on the comments, I think Kleiman was talking about we're best when Jaren is at the five. I think he's talking about closing lineups.
Yes. That's how I sort of tried to read it.
Ball knower, friend of the program, Sean Coleman, put this out here on Twitter, and I totally agree with him. Kleiman saying the Grizz are best with JJJ at the five, and BC saying that he likes Jaren at the four can both be true.
Yes.
You start Jaren at the four next to a big who could potentially be Donovan Clingan in the draft, or you go out and you sign somebody like Drummond. Maybe you do both. Both are possible this offseason. You let them play three quarters together, and then BC's coming off the bench. He's doing his thing. He's helping that bench unit. And then in the fourth quarter, you slide Jaren down to the five, throw BC in at the four, and you have your death lineup closing games, which we have seen them do already in the past, because BC and Jaren out there on the basketball court are extremely effective together, really effective together. The numbers do not lie. So I think both things are totally allowed to be true, but I totally agree with you. We shouldn't be starting the season with Jaren at the five. Someday down the road, as Jaren continues to work on his rebounding and gets bigger, because like he's still a young player, he's going to get bigger, he's going to continue to improve. Maybe one day he can start at the five every single night. I don't think that we're there yet. I think the Grizzlies know that we're not there yet, but you can start planning for it in the future. But ultimately, I think that Kleiman was talking about closing lineups. And if Jaren's playing the five in closing lineups and BC's at the four, I'm a happy guy.
I understand that. But if it is the alternative there where you may try to slow burn with a rookie big and have the light at the end of the tunnel where Brandon Clark starts some games with Jaren at the five, and then you work a Donovan Clingan into the lineup, maybe I could get behind that, but I just don't like the thought process of all five of those guys on the floor for 30-plus minutes a game to start a game.
Right.
I just don't really...
If they draft Clingan, I want him to start.
I don't think that they would be big enough, and I think most people see the drawbacks in that.
Because BC's
Because even if, he's 100%
right. He's right. They need a big guy to set screens, rebound, and defend the rim. And guess who does that? Donovan Clingan.
Even if you try to, pull some things out of your hat and say, maybe you can throw in Vince Williams Jr. at the three instead of Marcus Smart, which won't happen. Marcus Smart's going to start the year at the three, probably, in all likelihood. Vince Williams Jr. is only 6'4". He's long, and he plays big, and he rebounds better, but I just that wouldn't really be an option.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, it just would be a tiny lineup in an NBA and in a Western Conference where you have a lot of bigs that can do a lot of damage.
You want to have flexibility with your lineups. And right now the Grizzlies are in a position, if they are able to bring in a big that makes sense for this team, they're going to have flexibility with their lineups next season. I think that that's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Gigi's role, though, going into next year. Just to see how it all plays out.
He's for real.
I was kind of surprised that Zach Kleiman said it's more of a wait-and-see approach with him, and he may be a little farther down the pecking order than we actually think, because maybe they're not taking this back half of the season as seriously as we were, and the scoring punch that he brings, because it's going to be obviously a different role. That's the biggest thing about Gigi Jackson you have to understand. No matter what happens next year, if a team is fully healthy, he's going to have a different role. He's not going to be able to take 36 shots like he did in the final game of the year and get 44 points.
Right.
That's not what he's going to be. But to sort of taper that down a little bit and find a way to let him be a scoring threat off of the bench, give him his volume, give him his shots, without him being a 30-minute per game score, that's going to be the challenge. I think that he can accept it, though. He was up there at exit interviews. He said, now this is where the real work begins, because all the stars are coming back, so I've got to find where I fit. So it sounds like
perfect answer.
That is literally the dead-on answer you want to hear. And I, based on the different roles he was thrown in this year, he was off the bench sometimes. He ended up starting by the end of the year. I saw some malleability, if you will. I saw Gigi Jackson was able to, based on who was on the floor with him, sort of mend his game, adjust his game to who he was playing with. And that's it's good news for a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Gigi with, real NBA players out there, like star players. Like, what does he look like next to John Morant, Marcus Smart, Desmond Bain? Like, is there going to be a lineup of John Morant, Marcus Smart, Desmond Bain, Gigi, and Jaren Jackson Jr.? Like, that will be a fun lineup if we see it, but when you look at the actual depth chart, which it's actually pretty funny if you pull it up on ESPN right now, because it's just painted red. When you pull up the depth chart, like Gigi, Jake Moravia, Trey Jimison are the only people without day-to-day next to their names. It's just very funny to look at. But, realistically, he's the eighth guy. Because if you bring back Luke, Luke's going to be in front of him. So Vince and Luke are going to be in front of him. So that leaves Gigi as your eighth guy. And I think that makes all the sense in the world. I'm not going to overreact to that. He's still the youngest player in the NBA. He had a tremendous rookie season, showed a lot of promise, but that doesn't mean that you throw him in as your sixth guy or your starter. You've still got to allow him to come along, and next season is going to be super important for this Memphis Grizzlies team, and they are trying to truly contend for a championship, and I think that Gigi Jackson can be a key piece in that, but you've got to bring him along and make sure he's comfortable with the rest of the team, and I just think that that's what they're doing. I have no problem with making sure the 19-year-old youngest player in the NBA is comfortable with his role. So I just don't want to throw him into the fire, and that's why today I've been seeing people be like, well, why aren't you
Can I say this? This might be one of the most annoying conversations.
It makes no sense whatsoever to start Gigi Jackson. Right now, the Grizzlies have a problem that they have been searching for years. Before this season started, this hell of a season that we just went through, we were screaming, what are they going to do at the wing position? And now you have too many wings. You have too many good wings. You've got Marcus Smart. You've got Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams Jr., Luke Kennard. It's a great problem to have. It's an okay problem to have. Gigi's going to be the eighth, ninth guy on the bench, depending on what they do with Santi, too. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. Now that this season's over, though, tough season to watch. Completely understand. There were some high moments. John Morant getting the floater at the buzzer to beat the Pelicans was nice. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s fadeaway three to put the Bucks out of their misery at home or on the road. That one was on the road.
Yes.
That was fun in itself. But they were 27-55. It's hard to really dig through and find the highest moments. I know that Chris Harrington did his top 27 moments of the Grizzlies season, which was probably very hard for him, but he did a really good job over at the Daily Memphian. Go check out that article whenever you get a chance. He published it last week. But there were, in the end of the day, there's no way to look at this season and not find some positive developments. I think there were several positive developments
for
the growth of this team going into the future. Vince Williams Jr., huge. Gigi Jackson, huge. Brandon Clark coming back and being a very similar player to what he was pre-Achilles tear and pre-Achilles surgery. And then also, weirdly enough, we talked about it plenty, but I think that goes under-talked about because you sort of become used to Jaren Jackson Jr., the production he's putting out there. What he did on offense this year in isolation scoring and being a point guard and getting other guys involved at times, that was a huge development.
Tremendous.
For this team going forward. We talk about the half-court offense being their big issue, even when they were very good, second in the West, 50 wins. Seeing what he did, I think, will help a lot once you get everybody back healthy and get into those situations. His ISO scoring is going to be massive for this team going forward. But those four things, I think, were phenomenal. I saw that Jeffrey put out a poll for the Jeff Calkins Show.
Great
today.
Poll.
Which one do you think was the best development of the Grizzlies season? I think I'd go Vince Williams Jr. because I think he'll be a mainstay for this team, but I think all of them are correct answers. I think all of them make sense.
I'm in the super minority on this one, and I don't think any of the answers are incorrect. It's one of those situations where this was a quote-unquote lost season, but I truly do think that the Grizzlies walked away with four real things that could help them win in the future. One of them is G.G. Jackson. One of them is Vince Williams Jr. Brandon Clark's health, which is what I voted for because I think it has massive impact on what you do this offseason and how you look at the beginning of next year. So I actually voted for Brandon Clark. And then Jaren Jackson Jr.'s development on the offensive end, him also staying healthy. The flip fouls went down, and he continues to do what he's doing on the defensive end. I am such a fan of Jaren Jackson Jr., and I do not understand why people continue to criticize him for what he's not when we should be praising him for what he is. That is something that you've said consistently this year because that is what he deserves. He showed up every single game this year and played his ass off in a year that ultimately did matter in the standings, and you've got to give him credit for that. He was a leader this year for that team, and he showed it on the court and off the court. Round of applause for Jaren Jackson Jr. He really did have a great season.
He's above average to elite at everything but one thing you could point to,
right?
And that's rebounding. He's an above average offensive player. For his size, he can shoot above average, although the percentages are a little weird because he puts up a lot, and he put up a lot this year. His defense is elite. He's a defensive player of the year. As a rim protector, he's phenomenal. The one shortcoming has always been rebounding, and I feel like that's the thing that gets pointed out about him consistently. And I understand you have to supplement him with another player, and it makes it harder with roster building when you have to supplement it with another player. But this team's a lot better with Jaren than they are without him. And I think that much is very clear. Hashtag analysis for you. I think his emergence this year as an real offensive threat was great. And I think more All-Stars could be on the way for him. More All-Star selection.
I wouldn't be surprised. And what did you make of the Team USA comments he had?
He wants to play for him. We'll see if he actually makes a cut, though. I mean, they're putting together... They're getting everybody.
The Embiid thing is interesting.
Yeah, they're going to have bigs.
Did you see his knee, by the way? Again?
Did he hyperextend it again?
He left the game, but he came back. But that's the second time he's done that in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Freaking me out. I think they can have success in the Eastern Conference because it's so weak. But, man, that he is freaking me out.
Jaren, do you even think he'll be a reserve on Team USA? I don't see it.
I think eventually he'll be a Team USA guy. I just think that they're going – it sounds like that they are trying to load that thing up.
Yeah.
So
no one's
saying
no.
It's just a numbers game. It's not because Jaren's not
deserving. Once LeBron and everybody else gets involved, everybody falls into line.
Right.
No one skips out on it unless they have some severe injuries that they're trying to rehab.
It's just like how we talk about the All-Star and all NBA stuff. It's just sometimes there are guys that are still in front of you in the pecking order, and once they go away, it'll be your turn. It's not necessarily his turn, I think. But if he gets the phone call, I would love to see him represent because I do think he is deserving of it.
Yeah. Now, real quick, NBA playoffs are set. We will have the play-in here relatively shortly. But, of course, the number one seeds, Celtics, obviously in the East. They've had that wrapped up for how long? Like 3 weeks at this point?
Entire season since game one?
Exactly. And then the Thunder are the number one team in the West. The Thunder, what's so cool about that is they're the youngest one seed ever. Previous record was 04-05 with the Suns, 25.2. Average age, they're 23.4, and it is scary. They're coming, and they will continue to be here. It just feels like that unless they had some severe injuries, which we saw from the Grizzlies year after year after year, but they still have a lot of draft compensation and assets that they can use to go find other stars. So that was cool to see. In the West, Nuggets 2, Timberwolves 3, Clippers 4, Mavs 5, Suns 6, and then the play-ins. Pelicans, in this order, Pelicans, Lakers, Kings, Warriors. Lakers played themselves up. I know they were happy about that because now they only have to win one game to be into the to be one of the 7 or 8 seeds. So that's nice for them. I'm looking very much forward to two series right this second. One's play-in. Kings versus Warriors play-in, one-off.
It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be a war,
that
buddy.
Series last year was.
That was phenomenal.
Awesome.
Light the beam.
Oh, it was so good.
But a one-off?
Yeah.
We know that the Grizzlies handled a one-off against the Warriors not too long ago. This is very possible for the Kings to knock the Warriors, put the Warriors out of their misery.
That'd be great.
And it is kind of insane to me that the 9 and 10 spots, 46 and 36.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
I understand the Lakers get a lot of hate, but it has been funny this year, people being like, the Lakers suck, and they have 47 wins.
And then here's the other one I'm looking forward to in the Western Conference. Clippers.
Yes.
Versus Mavs in a 7-game series. I am hyped up about that one. Seeing Luka, the chance to dismantle the Clippers and send them, I mean, put them out of their misery. Let's be honest, because we have Paul George rumors. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both going into player options this offseason. This playoff season for the Clippers is such an inflection point for what this franchise is going to look like going forward.
Especially
if
with
they
the
lose,
new arena.
If they bow out early, Kawhi and Paul George may hightail it up out of there and say, screw this, this didn't work out. If they make a long run, they may stay around. I do think they'll both opt out of their player option to make more money because they're both max-type players. But this is going to be an interesting one to watch. That has a lot of implications on the Western Conference going forward.
I'm very much rooting for the Mavs in this series because I would love to see Paul George in Philly. I think that Paul George with Maxey and Embiid would be a ton of fun to watch, and I want that to happen. So I'm definitely rooting for the Mavericks in this series. Have you seen the talk today, too, about how the Lakers should tank their first play-in game? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So they don't have to play the Nuggets. That's the idea?
It's so stupid. You win. You don't do that. You don't anger the basketball gods. Do not tank. Don't do that in a playoff game. That's so ridiculous.
I mean, I guess I get the thought.
Win the game.
But also, you put a lot up for
what a
for
dumb grabs. Idea.
Well, you put a lot up. Like, if you tank the first play-in game, you could be knocked out of the playoffs altogether. Like,
exactly.
I don't know why you leave that up to chance. Because the Kings and Warriors can beat you in a one-off. That is not out the realm of possibilities. So, no, don't tank the first. That's being cocky. That's acting like
the idea is
you
should rest LeBron and AD so that they can. It's like, or just win the first game.
Well, the idea there is that you can control your own destiny and you no doubt can beat one of the Kings and Warriors. That's not the case.
No,
it's not a no doubter. Those teams can beat you. It's not that hard to understand. Now, Eastern Conference, I'm going to be honest with you. This is just sort of how I feel. Nothing in the Eastern Conference really, really does it for me. Just because
Cavs magic isn't getting you going?
I just think that the Celtics are just on a freaking collision course to win the East. I guess the one thing is the 76ers and the Heat. See how that all plays itself out. They could be some very interesting 7 and 8 seeds. But nothing else does it because the Knicks, they don't have Julius Randle. I can't buy them getting over top of the Celtics. The Bucks, it's very doubtful, according to Shams, that Giannis will be able to start and play in the Pacers
series.
That
stinks.
That's going to be massive. Cavs have not been that great down the stretch of the season. Magic are still young. Pacers are still relatively young, and they have played really 500-level basketball basically since the All-Star break. And Tyrese Halliburton's been very up and down. Nothing in the Eastern Conference does it for me.
The least amount of defense we are ever going to see will be played in the Bucks-Pacers series.
Oh, God. 120 to 115 or 130 to 125 every single game. For a race to 130, not just 120, race to 130.
My only takes for the Eastern Conference is I believe the Celtics are going to roll through it, and I think the Magic win a series.
Okay.
Those are my two takes.
I don't have any takes. My take is Celtics are going to win. And get through
I think
the
that's
NBA
fair.
Finals.
I think that's fair.
It's not that hard to predict, though. It's not that hard to predict. But let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. And when we come back, we have to talk some college basketball. We have some transfer portal news on the Memphis Tiger front. And then we'll also talk about our guy Mark Pope, who was announced as the Kentucky head coach over the weekend. He was in Rupp Arena in front of a sold-out crowd. As much as the Kentucky message boards were saying they were completely out, it felt like they were very in watching Mark Pope get introduced. So we'll talk about all that next, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's the Gabe Kuhn Show, 929 FM ESPN. Now, I didn't mention this in the first segment when we were talking Grizzlies. Really, it was a minute six added in the third quarter against the Lakers on Friday. How does that happen? They paid 13:06 in the third quarter. And the Grizzlies were up at that point, too, right? So it's like Grizzlies' clock management kind of screwed them out of a win, but you didn't need a win, so who cares? But that's strange to me. The NBA ended up confirming it. How does that happen?
I have no idea.
I don't know how that happens. That's clock management, clock operator. I hope nobody got completely fired or screwed out of a job because of that.
Mistakes happen.
But and it that's was, a tough mistake.
It was inconsequential. Overall, though, it was inconsequential. I hope nobody got fired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but these games do get bet on, you know? Maybe not as much as they were during the middle of the regular season, but they do get bet on.
That is
having
true.
A minute and six added and then the Grizzlies ultimately losing by not that much, that's tough. I don't think many people had Grizzlies money line, though. That's my
if
hunch.
It tells you how many people were paying attention to the game, though, that just nobody really noticed.
Yeah, How did nobody really notice?
Nobody watching, nobody there. It was just kind of like, oh, yeah, they played another one. Hey, real quick, did you just see what came out about Kawhi?
No, didn't see it.
From Chris Broussard, Kawhi Leonard reportedly has a lot of swelling in his knee. I was in contact with someone in the know, and they are said to be concerned.
Okay.
Not good.
And we've seen it before. Kawhi will not play if he does not feel healthy enough to play. It's that simple.
I hope he plays.
We'll talk more about the NBA playoffs as we get closer. It'll make the Mavs-Clipper series a little less interesting, in my opinion, because the Mavs have been phenomenal down the stretch of the season. The Clippers have been okay. But without Kawhi, I just don't give them much of a chance versus anybody. We'll see what happens. So now, on the Tiger basketball front, good news came in over the weekend. Adding on top of P.J. Haggerty, who was a 22-point-per-game scorer at Tulsa, Dane Danger, who's going to be a guy who has two more years, a big from Illinois, taking the step down from Illinois in the Big Ten to Memphis. Colby Rogers is the new commit for the University of Memphis. He's a lifetime 39% shooter from three. He was at Cal Poly, and then he transferred to Siena. He sat out a year and then played at Wichita State, and he had a really good year last year, 16.4 points per game at Wichita State. And he was right around 40.7% from three. And as we always sort of talk about when Penny's recruiting these guys, look at who else was going after them. And I think that sort of tells you the story about how they'll fit in and what type of player they are. Colby Rogers, this was a battle with Kansas and Alabama for Memphis to go pull this out. Rick Stansberry and Penny Hardaway, they recruit with anybody in this country. Now, Alabama may have been out of it because they ended up getting the AAC co-player of the year. If you remember Chris Youngblood, the USF transfer, he ended up committing to Bama, so maybe that took them out of the Colby Rogers running. But they were definitely in the running for a while, along with Kansas and Penny and Memphis. They get over top and get it done. I really like the addition. If you're keeping track, that's P.J. Haggerty, Dane Danger, Colby Rogers in this transfer portal. What's very clear to me after or since the P.J. Haggerty news dropped and that big fish was came off the board very early, Penny Hardaway is doing his best to prioritize three-point shooting and a little bit of defense, and that's what he's going for right now. These aren't the biggest names in the world. They aren't names that are just going to make you fall to the floor, but I think it's more reminiscent to 2 years ago with the Elijah McCadden and the Keontae Kennedys than it is to last year with all of those big-name NIL-type guys with big stat lines. It just seems a lot more focused this time around, and it's very nice to see. Now, I've seen some people sort of discuss, last year they got a guy from Wichita State and Jaquan Walton who shot 40% from three, and it didn't work out very well for him. Now, he's obviously in the transfer portal now. I guess he has another year of eligibility, but this is substantially different than that, and I don't think you need to think in that type of mindset, that negative mindset about Colby Rogers. Colby Rogers, one, has been doing this for 4 years. He was a starter at every single stop he made, and he's always shot really well. He is a lifetime 39% from three at all of his stops, and then last year he shot 40.7% from three on, get this, 7.1 attempts per game. That is double and a half what Jaquan Walton was able to do with his 40% at Wichita State. So I think the shooting will translate, and that would be massive. What were the two things that this team missed last year besides the team chemistry? It was defense and shooting, and I think they've done a good job of trying to go find, you know, getting Colby Rogers, and then they also have Aaron Scott potentially and John Buggs III.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We'll see how it all works out from here.
Yeah, if you add Aaron Scott and John Buggs already to what they have, it is going to take an already really good portal season for the Memphis Tigers and take it to a potentially great one. I've been very pleased with what Penny Hardaway and his staff is doing. It seems like they are taking lessons learned from last season and saying, we need to go find guys that fit the Penny Hardaway system. And that includes defense and three-point shooting, and that's what they're going to find. There is an archetype of player that they are going after, and then you have somebody like P.J. Haggerty that you can build a program around. He can be a tentpole, and then you still have the possibility of bringing back somebody like David Jones. The early returns so far for the Memphis Tigers portal season, I think, are positive.
Yeah, I think they're very
positive. There's no other way around it.
Very, very positive.
Look at it.
I think Aaron Scott from North Texas would be a massive get. Arturo Dean, I'm not as high on because he's 5'9". He's not that great of a shooter. You know, he's not the, you know, most
defensive specialist.
He would be a guy off the bench in all likelihood based on what they already have, but he was the NCAA steals leader. He may try to find a spot where he can go start, though, and I don't know if that's here. But they also were involved in a guy named Devon Barnes. He played for Collierville.
Let's go!
13.5 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game on 39% shooting from three, 4.6 attempts per game. He can spot up. And he can get in there as a pick and roll ball handler. I think that makes a lot of sense, and it just gives you a bunch of wings that you can play with. And we know Penny Hardaway's always tried to create that, and never has had a tremendous amount of success. But I think that's what he's trying to go for: a little more positionless, finding small ball lineups that he can go with. And I think a lot of these guys that he is targeting are very fantastic. And John Buggs, I think, would be a really fun one. Because I'm of the opinion having that just ridiculous three-point specialist on any team is just so fun to have. We know Jack Golkey with Oakland, and like you just look at it around the country. But John Buggs III had 12 points against Memphis in that 10-point win North Texas had, but he shot 45% from three. That would be a fun one to see them go get. Now, I know he's smaller. He's like 6'2", but to have a three-point specialist like that off of the bench would be very fun to watch. Another thing that I have been just sort of monitoring is where they're getting these guys from. Obviously, P.J. Haggerty from in-conference, Colby Rogers from in-conference at not-so-good teams. I guess the sentiment there would be, why are you going to get a bunch of guys that were leaders on their teams in a terrible conference? If I'm looking at the positive side of that thing, though, I think more power to Penny Hardaway for understanding that you need to put more emphasis on this conference and understanding this conference after the way your season got derailed by your in-conference opponents and the losses you took at home to Rice and things like that. So I don't mind it as much as a lot of people are sort of putting that sentiment out now. I don't mind it as much as most, though. I think that if you find good guys out on the portal, regardless of where they're from, feel good about it.
Yeah, they're recruiting guys that they saw up close, and they have been good players. Like, it doesn't feel like any of these have been reaches. I have no problem at all with where they're getting them if the numbers don't lie. You can look at the numbers and you say, that fits what a Penny Hardaway team needs to look like, so they're going to get them. There hasn't been one get so far that I've had real concerns about because of where he's coming from. They all make sense.
I think Dane Danger the most.
Yeah, but he still kind of makes sense. You need a big. That's the one thing that I do think.
They need to start prioritizing.
They need to start prioritizing bigs, and I think that they'll still do that because it just seems like right now they're trying to shore up the wing and guard position, and maybe they'll move on to big soon. And Mari Williams still out there.
Yeah.
Still out there.
He is. Parth Upadhyay, we'll talk to him more about this at 6 o'clock. He'll give us all the details and all of the guys that they're going after still in the portal because they still have a class that they need to put together. Probably, what, four or five more guys? A
couple more guys, for sure.
Yeah.
Handful.
Yeah. So we'll see how it all works out. And David Jones is going to be something we have to wait on for a while. So I don't know how confident I am. Let's wait for a month to pass, then I'll tell you how confident I am. Now, Mark Pope was introduced to Kentucky over the weekend. Did you see that?
God. I did.
I got to say, the message boards versus how many people had their butts in the seats at Rupp Arena to watch him get introduced, they didn't really match.
Social media isn't real life?
Didn't really match. Message boards and social media are not real life. And I thought that, I don't know whose idea it was, if it was the media relations person, if it was Mitch Barnhart, or if it was Mark Pope himself, bringing back the 96 national championship team, driving a bus onto the Rupp Arena floor and having them all get out with Mark Pope rallying the troops with the national championship trophy in hand. That was about as perfect as you could have imagined, right? There was no other way to introduce him that would have gotten the reaction that it did in Rupp Arena. That was phenomenal.
Mark Pope is a dork, but he's a dork for Kentucky basketball, and that's, I think, what you need, following somebody like John Calipari. Listen, it's not a home run hire by any means. They probably hit maybe a double when we said that you're,
they
having,
won the presser,
you're
though.
Having to
they
head
won
first
the
slide
introduction in.
In
the presser.
You won the presser.
For sure.
You won the presser. I want Mark Pope to do well. I still have questions about, you know, his player getting ability, but it is Kentucky, so maybe it'll recruit itself. We have seen a couple guys jump into the transfer portal.
And oh, man, I was going to mention.
I'm not sure he's going to be able to keep many of them, but you can't deny the fact that he has passion for Kentucky. We just have to see whether that passion translates to winning because, you know, right now you can win the presser, you can have a lot of fun, but if you don't win at Kentucky, those fans are going to turn on you very quickly. It doesn't matter what team you're on. It doesn't matter your relationship with the university. All that matters at Kentucky is winning.
Yeah, and let's talk about Kentucky and winning and what we think about year one. Obviously, there's a bunch of BYU guys. Dallin Hall and Ali Khalifa in particular likely to end up in Kentucky, although that's we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. But since Cal left, not good. Not good. Jaden Quaintance, so basically the entire recruiting class, five-star Jaden Quaintance has decommitted. Boogie Flan, five-star, decommits. Carter Knox, who's a five-star, decommits. Somto Cyril, who's a four-star, decommits. DJ Wagner entered the portal. Aaron Bradshaw entered it very early, but he ended up committing to Ohio State, so he's not even going to Arkansas. And then Avisic ends up in the portal. So they have a completely bare roster that Mark Pope's going to have to fill out, and I don't know how he's going to fill it out and what type of players he's going to bring in. He is focusing on some of the BYU guys he had, but who else out there is really thinking about going to Kentucky? We shall see. Because it looks like, you know, all that positivity that big blue nation that Kentucky had about Reed Shepard and Jeff Shepard and Reed Shepard coming back for another year, that's gone. That's not going to happen.
It was never realistic.
So you're going to have to find, if you're Mark Pope, somebody you can make a program cornerstone. And I don't think that Dallin Hall or Ali Khalifa, the guys that he's very tied to from BYU, I don't think those are the guys. And you've lost a bunch. So
it's great that he won the presser, but you got to start
recruiting. Real work happens
now.
Work is right now. All that positivity and fun and rallying the fan base is great. That don't win you ball games.
No.
That don't win you ball games.
Good luck.
Now it's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all in an app that is safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK, and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is not withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now, hour two is on the way, and we always open up hour number two with Jeff Calkins. So let's go ahead and do that right after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.